Great to see y'all. I know. I'm just kidding. Thanks for your help, Kenton. Thanks. Well, I have two special guests here today, my parents. Many of you got to meet them, Beth and Pete. Very sweet for you guys to come. Thanks. I knew that they might be able to make it today. You guys probably don't know them that well. Some of you, I know Kenton and Kadisa know them kind of well over time and things, but my mom's an amazing teacher. She really taught me to teach, actually. Not deliberately, but I just kind of caught it from her. I remember all sorts of Boy Scout outings and things where she just is an amazing teacher. And I was also thinking on the way here, Megan was encouraging me and her. She was saying, you know, we really ought to pray for this certain thing. That's kind of bigger scale. And I was like, yeah, we should. And right when I thought that, I heard the Lord say to me, you know, I listen to you. And what's interesting is my dad taught me that. We'd be driving in the car, ambulance would go by, and he'd encourage me to pray, and he said, the Lord listens to you when you pray. Isn't that an amazing inheritance? So anyway, I just wanted to honor my parents, my mom teaching me how to teach really in so many ways, and my dad teaching me how to pray in so many ways. And so thank you, Mom and Dad, for that. Appreciate it. One of many, many things where I get to, you know, just experience the benefit of parents to build upon, you know. Well, Lord, your words, your power, for your glory to serve your people. Come on, fire of God, fall. Amen. Ooh, that'll do. Brad's been teaching on the baptism. He's been teaching on lots of baptisms. So by point of clarification, there was a baptism of repentance that John the Baptist administered, right? And that was, I kind of conceive of that sort of like, the Lord opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So these were people that were wanting to humble themselves before the Lord to prepare their hearts to receive the coming kingdom, Jesus coming. Then there's the baptism of water, which, you know, the Bible says we've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, right? And so Jesus died for us, and being baptized in water is a representation of us receiving that atoning sacrifice. And so when that happens, our old man dies, and we're breathed back into by God the breath of life, and we become a living spirit again with the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. We become spiritually alive again, just like Adam and Eve were before the fall, right? And just like Jesus was the entire time he was here on earth. He was the second Adam. So it's just by way of review a little bit. Then what's the third baptism that Brad was bringing up? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And another way to say that, in my opinion, is the baptism of power. You know, there's more in God. There's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. There is a lot more. God's got more horsepower than we even know about. He's like a Porsche 911 Carrera Turbo something, 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 fastest car you've ever driven, where we're touching the pedal down and going 35 miles an hour and every once in a while going, woo, you know. There's a lot more with God. There's a lot more power that's available with God. There's a lot more. God can do more with you than you could ever do. He's not that impressed with our ability. You know, we're dumb compared to God. You want a scripture for that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh man, not many of you were of noble calling, and kind of paraphrasing. Not many of us looked real sweet before we got called by the Lord. See, the thing about God is he makes what he owns beautiful. God's a covenant sort of God. Who is the prophet that married the prostitute? I'm sorry, I forget. Habakkuk? Really? No. Hosea and Gomer, right? And so that's how God is with us. We get married to him and we just start looking pretty. Isn't that great? Especially if we listen to him, Romans 12:2, so that our minds are transformed. Our minds are renewed so that we're transformed. I don't think I've ever gotten those two words right when I've preached. I always mix them up. Okay, I've got some notes today, so I might be coming to these a little bit more. But there's more. But here's the thing, many people in the body of Christ, and this is not critical, I'm just saying it so that we understand. You know what I'm saying? Many people, I'm saying this so that we don't lose perspective. Okay, many people are afraid of the baptism of power or try to explain it away. It's very common in the body of Christ. You're not one of those tongue talkers, are you? Why, yes, I am, and I didn't know that you had a problem with it. Paul, 1 Corinthians 14, I wished all of you spoke in tongues. I speak in tongues more than all y'all. It's another part of 1 Corinthians 14. Okay? But here's the thing, we need to be careful, and this is to us and the body of Christ, we need to be careful not to relegate God, not to relegate to God what is our responsibility. What we often do is we say, you know, when people explain it away, a lot of times they're like, well, you know, God might do that sometimes. He might move on that person. They might have the gift of tongues. Some people might have that. Yeah, how many people in your church have that? Well, I don't know of anybody. But Paul said, I wish all of you spoke in tongues. Right? So how many is all? All believers. So speaking in tongues is some sort of real deal based on the baptism of the Holy Spirit that all believers are able to have. And Paul, being a great representative of God, in my opinion, wished that all of us would do it. Isn't that great? So we need to be careful that we don't kind of balk at the responsibility God's given us to seek his power and put it back. Well, God might do that. Well, God's already done it. God's already done it. That's why Jesus in Acts chapter 1, you can turn with me to any of this if you'd like to. In Acts chapter 1, towards the end of chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And before that, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus already did it. If they didn't, if after Jesus ascended, if Pentecost didn't happen because they didn't go to the upper room to seek the Lord, to receive what he said to wait for, well, God might do it. Well, he already did it. He already gave his word. He said, this is what I'm going to do. So at that point, if we're not receiving it, it's because we're not taking responsibility for our part of it. You know, I love the phrase, the blessings of God are received, not achieved. That's a Mark Crawford phrase. I think that's great. Now, here's the thing that's totally in line with that. It's not disparate from it at all or, you know, counter to it. You're not going to get handed every cookie out of the cookie jar. Sometimes you need to reach in and grab it. If your mom and dad have told you 100 times that anything in their pantry is fair game, you can be served by them, but at some point you can open up the cabinet, reach in, and grab something. And if they see you do it, they'll be happy you did. You know, we're real big on obedience and authority is a foundation for something. You never get away from your foundation. You always stand on obedience and authority with the Lord. It's always your foundation, but you can build upon it. The way you build upon it is actually, there's actually a higher way, which is autonomy and innovation. In terms of, the Lord wants us to be sons, not just servants. You start as a servant, and you're still supposed to keep the foundation of being a servant, but you're supposed to progress into being a son, in that you'll have the heart of your father, and you'll actually do things that he maybe has never even thought of, per se. Where it's like, dad comes home, and he's like, wow, I mean, I know your chore was to mow the grass, but you edged the lawn. Well, why did you edge the lawn, too? Well, I know that that's how you like to do things, dad. I just thought it would be good to mow the grass and edge the lawn. And God's like that with us. When you have a foundation of obedience and authority with the Lord, have a foundation of being his servant, you can actually build upon that and step into something that's a higher level of thing. It's a higher level of relationship. You can actually initiate with God. You can reach into the cookie jar and grab the cookie. Sometimes we're really afraid of that because we don't trust that we're actually submitted to him. Do you know what I'm saying? We don't trust that we're actually submitted to him. It's important that we know that our heart is pure before God so that we can actually press in and put the pedal to the floor a little bit. There's more power available to us. We're allowed to press in with God. Look, if there's some area of your life where you're not submitted to God, get that straight. That's not me being harsh, just get it straight. I love James McDonald says, choose to sin, choose to suffer. I mean, it doesn't make sense even to want to do dumb stuff because dumb stuff just doesn't turn out well. You know what I'm saying? So if there's something in your life that isn't submitted to the authority of the Lord, get it underneath him. You know, get that foundation right. But then build on that. Press in. Press in with the Lord. Initiate with him. He wants you to dream with him. He's got more. And he's got power for it. Sterility is not safety. Sterility is not safety. Being armed can be dangerous, but being unarmed is not safe. Look at Peter as an example, the apostle. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak." Then the soldiers came, and Peter used a carnal weapon, a sword, cut off the servant's ear. Jesus healed him. Then, at the fire, so to speak, figuratively and literally, Peter denies Christ. He was standing at the fire, but it was his moment of testing fire. After that, he experiences the love of God as Jesus reinstates him, and he's told to wait for the fire. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything. I love how Brad talks about this. If the apostles needed the Holy Spirit, we probably do too. What happens after Peter receives the Holy Spirit? Before, he stood at the fire and denied Jesus. Then he received the fire of God, tongues of fire, and he proclaimed Jesus, and thousands were saved. Before and after, there's a difference. The fire of God produces something in us that's altogether different. The Holy Spirit is available to us. The thing about baptism of water, when you received Christ, that I think is very significant, is that it's total submersion. It's this notion that I'm giving all of my life to the Lord Jesus. I'm receiving him as my Savior, but I'm also taking him up as my Lord. Most of us have not I can't say most of us, many of us have not done the same with the Holy Spirit. Probably 4 or 5 years ago, I was getting off 315, coming down the off ramp on by Lenox Center, and I hear the Lord speak to me. He said, "Your mind is on the throne of your heart, and I want to be." I want you to be too, Lord. Help. Around the same time, Mark Crawford was in, and we had this gathering of about 12 people, all of whom I knew very well. Mark didn't even know any of our names, and he went around and gave each of us a prophetic word like he was reading our mail. He almost knew the people in the room by what he was saying better than I knew them. Didn't even know our names. And I thought to myself, man, the New Testament is real. Acts is for today. The book of Acts is for today. I couldn't shake it. There was something so powerful about seeing that over and over and over that night. Just one after another, one after another, one after another. Pitch perfect. Prophetic words. Like you know, that was fun giving words today. I'm glad Kenton initiated that. That's the Lord. This one time I walked into a gas station and saw the cashier, and I have this strong sense, and I say to him, I said, "You know, you're really good at relationships, particularly healing relationships." And he says, "That's interesting because my wife and I are considering a divorce." That was a good word. Or this other time we walked into a Chinese restaurant, and the gentleman that goes to seat us, I walk in, and this is a word of knowledge. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. I walk in, and the Lord says, "He's a professor." I thought, well, that's kind of funny. He's seating people at a Chinese restaurant. And so I kind of ease into it a little bit when I'm talking with him. I said, "Do you like to read books?" And he said, "Why, yes." I figured that was close enough to make the next jump. I said, "Well, I feel like the Lord just told me you're a professor." And he said, "I am." And he listed the type of engineering that he was a professor of and what university. That was pretty good. That's the Lord. That's not me. It's not even like a thought that I had. It just bursts forth, and you just know that you know. Or when we were walking down High Street, and this guy walks past me, Megan, and I think just Peter at that point, and I said, "Are you a musician?" As he's walking past me, he said, "How did you know?" I said, "Well, sometimes the Lord will tell me something about people, and it's so that you know that he's got his eye on you and loves you." Man, he was giving us, we only talked to him for 30 seconds, he was giving us hugs and telling us how much we just made his day and all this sort of thing. He was so excited. People need to know the love of God. You know, I could, you know, just happen to see that guy, stop him, try to talk with him, share the gospel with him and all that. That's great. But there's also power tools available. A word of knowledge like that will cut straight to the chase. "How'd you know that?" I've had people before ask me, are you some sort of psychic? "No, but I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and sometimes he'll tell me things about you because he wants you to know that he sees you and loves you." Isn't that awesome? That's available to every single one of us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get saved. Sometimes you get baptized in the Holy Spirit pretty quickly thereafter. Other times you got to ask the Lord for it. I think it's worth asking for. Before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I don't know exactly when that was, but I never had prophetic words like Kenton and I shared today. I never had that really for people. I mean, sometimes you might have like a little impression for people. Maybe you can see their heart or something like that. But afterwards, you'll have prophetic words for people. That was not me. Man, that is really insightful. Wow, that just totally connects up. It's not because you're sitting there analyzing the person, think, "What do I know about Brad? What do I know about Brad? What does he maybe need to hear right now?" It's not that. the Lord might turn my attention to thinking about Brad, and then he just drops in a nugget. I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty good. Any more, Lord? It gives me another nugget. Whatever. Okay? But Paul says to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire. How strong is that? He says, get after it. Put your hand in the cookie jar. Pull them out. Push the pedal to the floor. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Get after them. Here's the thing. I believe the Lord's saying that it is time for us as a body to set sail. Amen. It is time for us to set sail. I believe we've been birthed into deeper waters. Safe harbor is only for a season. And I have this phrase, we are to set sail on the wind of the Spirit. Kenton started saying something like that to Jess, and I was like, he's preaching my message. We're to set, that's the Holy Spirit. We're to set sail on the winds of the Spirit. Listen, we're not supposed to set sail on the water. We're supposed to set sail on the winds of the Spirit. We focus too much on the waters. No need to gaze down when the wind is up. And I mean that in both meanings. The wind is up. Look up to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. But also, the wind is up. The wind is stirring up in our body. I'm declaring that, and I'm right about that. The wind is stirring up in our body. The wind of the Spirit is stirring up in our body. And we need, the wind is turning up, and we need to set our rigging. You need to set your rigging. This is a corporate word, and it's a word to each person in here. You need to set your rigging. You need to start getting your rigging ready for your sails. We need to learn to catch the wind of the Spirit, and we need to get ready to set sail. Listen to how sailors talk. Listen. When they're going to get going, what is it called? It's called setting sail. Well, what's setting sail? It's setting your sails to catch the what? The wind. We're going to get going. It's time to start rowing oars. It's time to do what? Set sail. It's a difference. Listen, if God's Spirit doesn't move, I'm not going anywhere. He's not impressed with our rowing ability. And he loves us. He doesn't care about that, like I said. He makes us all the more beautiful, all the more powerful. It's just really not about us. It's about Jesus. That's a great song. Think about it. When Peter walked on the water, at least for a minute, for a second, however long he walked on the water for, Jesus was walking on the water all the way. They had been struggling. The apostles were struggling in that boat in the wind. Struggling. Their rowing ability was not winning them any merit badges. And here comes Jesus walking on the water through the storm like nobody's business. And they had got started, I think if I remember the story correctly, multiple hours before, maybe 4 hours before. And Peter asked to step out of the boat onto the water. And I've heard a great Andrew Womack teaching on, you know, was Peter supposed to walk on water that day or not, or was he presumptuous? But in either case, he did it. I love that. I love that he just did it. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus, if you're Jesus, tell me to do what I want you to tell me to do. Our rowing ability is not going to get us to where we are going. It's the wind of the Spirit that's going to get us to where we're going. Only the presence of Jesus will get us to where we're going. Moses said this so beautifully in Exodus 33, I think it was. He told God, I'll turn to there, Exodus 33. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, Please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. Now watch this. God, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, Moses said, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? They'll know we're Christians by the presence of God. They'll know we're Christians by the presence and power of God. I was reading a Reinhard Bonnke story last night. By the way, some of you need to get some testimonies in your hands. Like I said, sterility is not safe. Some of you might need a Mark Crawford-like experience like I had, where in 2 hours, I saw all these prophetic words go forth where I'm like, wow, the New Testament is real and for today. That's someone walking like Acts of the Apostles. This is amazing. And there are stories upon stories upon stories available to you right now in book form or in audio form that you can hear all about that. You can hear about Andrew Womack raising his son from the dead. You can hear about any number of miracles. There's just so many, I don't even know where to start. But this Reinhard Bonnke one was so great last night. I was reading it. This lady had had a dream. She had been so crippled, both hips out of her socket, so crippled that she could barely get to church with someone transporting her in an ambulance-type vehicle. And she would writhe in pain at anybody even moving her legs. And everything else had gone wrong as a result of it, her heart and lungs, all this sort of thing. She had this doctor said there's a 50-50 chance, sort of last-ditch surgery we could do to maybe help your spine that had an issue, whatever. And she had two dreams one night. The first dream was her on the operating table with that spine surgeon, and she died. Then she thought, well, maybe that's just my nerves or anxiousness. And then she had another dream, and the second dream was her in a cavernous room with 12,000 people or something like that in it, and a strange man with a strange accent on the stage who prayed for her that night. Well, actually went to pray for one lady in a wheelchair, and she didn't get healed, and then came to her and prayed for her that night, and she did get healed completely, this lady, in this dream. And she thought, I wonder what this means. So she went to the pastor. On hindsight, always is really clear, but the things of the Spirit sometimes are intimidating in foresight. And we need to not be afraid to step in or step out of the boat, so to speak. There's more from God, but we can't hesitate to step into it. I love how Mark Crawford says it's a new thing. The reason it's called a new thing is because if we knew what it was already, we'd already have a name for it. It's a new thing. We'll come up with a name after we experience it. And so what happened was this lady ends up going to Reinhard Bonnke's gathering, 12,000 people. She's thinking, this is really familiar. And then he looked really familiar, and then his accent was exactly the same that she had remembered in her dream. And then he went to pray for one lady in a wheelchair because they only had 15 minutes left because they had to clear the hall based on the rental time. And he's like, oh, I haven't prayed for anything. He goes to pray for this lady, nothing. And then he remembers that the Lord had already showed him that night, this lady who had had this dream. He had no idea. But he had asked the Lord, Lord, what are you going to do tonight? And the Lord said, I'm going to heal that lady in the wheelchair right there. She's going to walk. And so he sprints across, remembering this lady, and he's only got a few minutes left, sprints across this lady, starts praying for her. Her husband is nearly infuriated. He thought that the husband of this lady was going to punch him in the face because he thought he was going to basically embarrass her. So he starts praying for her. He says to her, you're going to get healed today. And she says, I know, I know, I know, because her whole dream had just come together in this vision. So her faith was up. She says, I know, I know, I know. And I mean, everything was wrong with this lady. I mean, just really rough shape. He starts praying for her, and she falls out of her wheelchair. And he says, oh, Lord, what have I done? And he thought to himself, well, at least that's a step. This is faith speaking. At least that's a step in the right direction. Turns out she'd got slain in the spirit. And so he starts praying to, yeah, forward. Couldn't go back. And so he starts praying to her, talking to her, and she said, it feels like there's anesthesia all over my body. And he said, Dr. Jesus is healing you. And she later recounts all these crazy sensations. She had a leg that was 2 inches short that lengthened. Her back, she felt like a hot metal rod go through her back while you know, this sort of surgery from the Lord was happening. Literally. And then, so this is going on for just a few minutes because they had a shorter period of time. And finally, much to the husband's dismay, he says, get up and walk. She pops up and starts walking, feels so good, starts sprinting around. And she's there with all these people from her church, including the youth group that she was part of leading, that knew that literally she could, not only could she barely get to church writhing in pain, but she couldn't sit for more than like 3 minutes of the service because she was in such pain. And every service for years, the whole church had prayed for her healing because it was so bad. And she got healed in minutes, started sprinting around, and he kept... She had this red beret on. She starts sprinting. The red beret flies off of her head, and he keeps yelling to the audience, where's that woman? Where's that woman? Where's that woman? Because he wants that woman to be able to come up and give a testimony. Where's that woman? And the audience keeps yelling, over there! No, over there! She made a whole lap around the entire stadium, comes up on stage, and sneaks up behind me. Says, oh, there she is. She gives this testimony. Of course, the whole church is able to verify it because they've been praying for her for years. She can't even get to church. So all this happens, and then the doctors verify the entire thing, and later Reinhard Bunke finds out about the dream and all this other stuff. And here's what's crazy. Before he walked out onto stage that night, he thought he brushed into a guy that was on crutches behind the stage, probably there to get prayer. He thought he brushed into him and knocked him over, felt bad, oh no. But his attendees were like, no, you got to get out there on stage, walk through the curtain on stage, we'll take care of him. Turns out that guy, he finds out later, got slain in the spirit. He didn't bump into him. The Holy Spirit hit him when Reinhard Bunke walked past, and he got up and didn't need his crutches anymore. He got healed. Isn't that awesome? And see, here's the thing about Peter. Peter goes from denying Christ to preaching to thousands, and to the point that people just wanted his shadow to pass over. They tried to get touched by Peter's shadow. Greater works will you do than these. I'm speaking to you. Greater works will you do than these. Jesus wants me to say that to you because he said it to us. Yes. Greater works will you do than these. And I'm here to tell you that I start looking at someone like Reinhard Bunke's life, and it's starting to look a lot like that in his life. If you look at how many people have been led to the Lord through his ministry, I'm talking something like 80 million. If you look at the number of people that have been raised from the dead through his ministry, the number of people that have been healed, after their crusades, they have piles of crutches, blind eyes open, deaf ears open. This is real stuff. They ought to put it on the nightly news. That book is called Reinhard Bunke, Living a Life of Fire. Yeah. Let's see how to do this. Get that book. It's like $20 on Amazon. It's 700 pages. Would be the best fiction book I've ever read, except it's all real.
Yeah. I have limited time, so I'm not going to tell you the whole story because there is backstory to it. So I'll just tell you the little story. But Brad, do you remember seeing Reinhard Bunke at Christian Community Church? And there's about 30 people of us there. Okay, so I won't tell you the backstory because that one's crazy. But Reinhard Bunke laid hands on all of us to impart his gift. I had been praying for the ministry of Jesus, and so I was very excited to receive it. And I got laid out for the whole day. My husband had to lead me home, and I was just laid out. Well, fast forward, I don't know how many years, in 2005, I'll try to make this quick, my father was in poor health, and he should never have gone to Cancun, Mexico at all, because he was blind and very sick, but, you know, it was his last hurrah. And it really was, Dad. So he went to Cancun, fell, broke his hip, and was put in a European hospital in Cancun, wonderful hospital. So I flew down there to be with my mom. We had to, you know, Learjet him out of Mexico. But while I would visit him in ICU, and in the Mexican ICU, they're all lined up in these beds like this. So this bed right here was a woman, and here is my dad. And the lady next to him on the right had been vacationing in the Riviera, you know, the Mexican Riviera. And with her two sisters, and they were in their 60s, and she had a brain aneurysm happen to her. They had helicoptered her to this hospital. The sisters, which we ate breakfast with the sisters, we ate lunch with the sisters, we ate dinner with the sisters as we were waiting for our love, you know, at this hospital on a daily basis. And the sisters said the doctors were working just to save her life. This lady, they had been there for months, and this woman looked dead to me. And my dad said she never moved. She just laid there, just like that, never talked, never opened an eye, never twitched, anything. And so I stand in by my dad's bed talking, and they came and they put this lady on a stretcher and they took her away for some testing with the sisters. And I was standing there, I remembered, I've been anointed for healing. And I could actually feel the healing in my hands. So I didn't want to make a scene because it was a big ICU with all these people, but I felt like, if you're familiar with the story where they threw this guy during war into Elijah's tomb in the Old Testament, okay, they threw this guy died, and they were like, they were in a hurry, so they threw him into the prophet's tomb, and like the residue from the prophet, he went boing, and he came back to life. So I always remember that story. So I thought, okay, that was in my mind. And I thought to myself, I'll just put my hands in the middle of this bed, and the residue of the anointing will be here. And when they put her back in the bed, she will be healed. So without making a big show, I just turned around and I put my hands there and I was like, you know, be healed. Turned around, talked to my dad. And then I left. And then the next morning, before I could go into ICU, I'm having breakfast and the sisters come. They're like, oh my gosh, last night when we brought our sister back and we put her in the bed, it was amazing. She looked up and went, where am I? Hello, could talk, everything. Now she couldn't walk yet. They were so excited. They were gonna probably in 2 more days take her back to Maine. I have the emails because we stayed in touch. She was walking like 2 weeks afterwards, they're like, she's walking, she's fully recovered. So I had told my dad about it. My dad was laying there. So I went in and I'm like, hey, I heard the lady, because she was no longer in ICU, you know, she didn't need to be in ICU anymore. I said, hey, I heard the lady got better. And he was like, it was amazing. He said, it was like a miracle. They put her in the bed and she just sat up and started talking. And so I told my... Now, that could be a coincidence, right? Maybe coincidentally, she was just ready to come out of her coma. I don't think so. So I told my dad what I had done, and he was like, well, you need to tell people. But I was actually too afraid to tell people, but I decided to share it now.
Well, that was good. Thank you, Brenda. It's time for more. In every sense of the word, it's time for more. Safe harbor is for a season. It's time to set sail. We need to catch the wind of the Spirit. And so this is just a little blip of a message in the middle of Brad teaching about how to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage us that I believe that Brad is right on the mark with what our body needs to hear right now with this message series. There is more, there is more, there is more, there is more. Get after God for the more. It honors him. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. I don't want there to be closure to this message. I hope you're a little stirred, a little fired up. Not frustrated, but kind of like churned up. You know, that's a good place to be. Hungry. This is, you know, that sort of hunger is a powerful motivator. Get a book with testimonies like that. You got to get a book with testimonies like that. Start listening to testimonies. You need to get those testimonies in you. Okay, some of you need to dust off some prophetic words. I forgot, I thought I was done with the message. There are a few parts here that I think are good to still bring. Some of you need to dust off some prophetic words the Lord's spoken over you. If he spoke them over you, God is faithful to keep his word, like Brad said. You should be faithful to keep his word too. Don't lose those things. Keep them. Don't just keep them on a shelf. Declare them over yourself. Sometimes we limit what God's saying over our lives because the things he's saying are insoluble with our belief system. We filter them out. And so some of us also, I just want to encourage you, making declarations from the word of God, I also believe is going to be a powerful thing in this season for this body. If you don't do that already, I would encourage you to start doing that, just like Brad did with his tithe today. Thank you, Father, that my vine will not fail to bear fruit, right? And when Megan and I have had issues with cars where they're like, it's going to be $1,600 to fix this. Thank you, Father, that you'll rebuke the devourer for our sake. It ended up being $50. Praise God. There needs to be some declarations. Declarations will help get your belief system in line with what the Lord's saying so that you don't filter out what he's wanting to say. Okay. Be stirred. Come on. Fire of God. More, Lord. Yep.
When Kenton gave that word to Jess, I felt like God said to me sitting there, and I didn't get up to say it, and I wished I had, so now I will. That word for Jess was for us also, right, about setting sail. Because as you were getting to her, I'm like, I felt like God said, that's where this church is right now. We're getting ready to set sail. I didn't say anything. And also that about the springtime, that the picture you had about the winter and the little springtime, I felt like that was also for this church. And he said, and what happened today with both of you giving words and then Brenda with you getting up, I feel like what God's saying is we are going to be, years ago there was a word given over this church by a prayer partner of mine in Arizona that this church is going to be very unique. And I really believe I'm getting a sense of what that uniqueness is going to be. And that uniqueness is going to be, we're not going to be pew sitters. We're not going to have a couple people doing the stuff where everyone else just comes in on Sunday morning, sits there and then goes home. That time for the church is over. Yes, every one of us. And so I don't think it was any coincidence that both of you gave so many words today, that Brenda, you got up, and you even said we all have testimonies, because I really believe that is the heart of God for this church, and that many churches will be like that in America. It will no longer be the way it is. And we're one of those churches, I think, that God's finger is on that is going to be like that. And so what your message today about setting sail, there's a couple of scriptures that talk about setting your heart to seek the Lord. And I think that's how we're going to set our sails. We set our heart to seek the Lord. And I truly believe anyone who wants in can get in. But we can no longer be church as usual. We've got to start becoming part of what God's going to do. And those who want to give words will be giving words. Those who want to lay hands on the sick to see them recover will see that. But we've got to be willing to step out. So it was just, I had to confirm when you said, I'm like, oh, I should have gotten up there. So I thought, I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to get up. So that word was for us today. It's time for us to set sail. So, let's just end in prayer. And then anyone who wants prayer, we're going to get much more intentional about this. After service, if you want prayer, you're going to come up here and get prayed for. And guess what we're going to start seeing? Miracles. Like one of the things we're going to be praying for today, anyone who wants to get on board, there's a few of us who have had this congestion thing for a month, and we're saying no more because Jesus already took it. So if you want to get in on that, if you've had this, we're going to say no more. But first, let me just end in prayer. And so, Father, I do believe that it's time to set sail. It's just amazing, Lord, how you work. Holy Spirit, we so honor you, and it is. We need you, and I know that that's why you put it on Brad's heart to be teaching us about you, because Jesus couldn't do anything. He could do nothing without you. And we can do nothing without you. So we're going to get to know you more. And I just know you're going to be so excited about working through us, because we're going to start seeing, the first century church in this place right here. And then we're going to take it out. And so we thank you for that. And so I ask you, Holy Spirit, right now, would you be speaking to every person to let them know anyone who has felt like they've been left behind or left out, that this is time, jump in, that the water is fine. And it's for everyone. It's for everyone. And so I just pray that over every person in here, that they will know that they are included. Anyone who's ever felt excluded, it's time to be included. I just pray, just Holy Spirit, just speak to every person. The gifting that you've placed within them. Every person has a special, unique place that no one else can take. No one else can take it. And I just pray everyone knows that. And then, Holy Spirit, would you show each of us how to set our heart to seek the Lord, especially in this culture of busyness and distraction? Help us to lay down those things that need to be laid down. Help us to know that it's worth whatever price or sacrifice that we make for what we will see. And so I just ask you, Holy Spirit, help each of us to set our heart to seek the Lord. And Father, we're believing you for the more in this church. We're believing you for the signs and the wonders, because that's what will give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, and anyone who needs prayer, come on up.